we see that when Moses and Israel were fleeing from Egypt and were bounded by the bounded on the north by the desert, on the south by desert, and on the west by Pharaoh's army, and on the east by the Red Sea. And of course, they were in a situation that looked pretty desperate, but God intervened, opened the Red Sea and parted it. And that's the way it is for us, is that we need to realize that we can look up to God. Dr. Comfort always used to say, a call to ministry is a call to be prepared. And really, that's what we're going to see tonight, is preparation is important. And Joshua is preparing the children of Israel. They've crossed the Jordan River, and they're getting ready to go do battle in this new land that God has promised them. And God told Joshua that he should be strong and of good courage. And Joshua determined to follow God. God magnified Joshua. At least two times it told us that in the Bible. And we see the reason of that is because Joshua, by faith, was trusting God. And he was following God's plan. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 5. I'm just going to read the whole chapter again. And we're going to see how God is preparing Joshua and the children of Israel for success. And it's the same thing that he is trying to do in our lives as well. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the males of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this book. We thank you for how you have shown us through Joshua how we too can have victories in this life. And you've led Joshua step by step. It's the same way you want to lead us. And Father, we just look to you and trust you in these things, and help that you would help us to be as Joshua was and be prepared for those things which you have for us. We thank you again for your love for us. Thank you for the word of God you've given to us. We pray now you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's preparation. Preparation without. In verse 1, and again, preparation is the key to success, we see in verse 1 again, it says, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel." There's preparation. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the Olivet Discourse in Luke chapter 21, he says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." He was telling his disciples to be prepared for what was ahead. And really, opportunity typically favors those who have paid the price of years of preparation. An old Chinese proverb says, "Dig the well before you're thirsty." That's pretty smart. Jesus, he was sharing a parable in Luke 14. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it become to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." And again, it's all about preparation. And Joshua, who is seeking the Lord and seeking his direction, and of course God charged him when he gave him this ministry in chapter 1, he told them to be strong and of good courage. He said, "I'll go before you. I'll take care of this." But he also told him, says, "Don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left." And his point was, is to say, focus on me. Follow me. Follow my plan. And as they are doing that, the first step here of the action was to cross the Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan River and they set up those stones in the midst of the Jordan, and then again they set them up in Gilgal. And there the enemies heard about these things. And it's like, wow, you hear about those people coming across the Jordan River where it was overflowing the banks? Well, we couldn't hardly swim across that. And they walked across on dry ground. Boy, what is God doing? Now, I don't know what all they said, but I can imagine. The Bible says they were afraid. Their hearts melted. Their hearts melted. They lost courage. They were beside themselves. They were feeling like there was no hope for them. They had already lost the battle before it even began. They were giving up. Their spirits within inside themselves, they were scared to death. And it was because they heard what God was doing. You know, God's doing a lot of things today. We can hear that, but we can also see it in our lives. And just that alone ought to make a difference in how we live and how we prepare. God is preparing the children of Israel to go do battle in a battle that, humanly speaking, would be impossible. But God is leading, and God is protecting and going before them. And that's what He wants to do for us. He's given us a mandate, and our conquest is to follow Christ. And to follow Christ, what did Jesus come for? He came to seek and to save that which is lost, and He gave us the mandate. And each one of the Gospels, there's a mandate to that. And in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there's a mandate to that. And God has prepared the way for us to do that. And He's trying to give us the strength, and it's not us alone that do it. It's going in the power of God. That's the difference. When you do it in the flesh, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be difficult, and there will not be a lot of success. But when you go in the power of God, it's God who does the work. How many people have you saved in your lifetime? I can tell you today, I haven't saved anybody. And I never will save anybody, at least as far as spiritually is concerned. We're the messengers. We share the gospel, and it's the word of God that saves people when they put their faith and trust in Jesus. So here we realize that as we're living in our society, there are people out there that are in the same condition as these people were. Their hearts are melted. Their spirit has gone away. They're without hope. They're searching for something real. They're trying to find something. And so we have the opportunity as we go looking, because God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one who opens the doors. God has already prepared the hearts of them that will be saved. He does that. And so we have that opportunity to go, and that's the preparation within. But there's also a preparation without. And we see that in verses 2 on down through 10, and I'm not going to read it all again, but They had just came out of Egypt. Those that were 20 years old and older, when they came to this point the first time and they rejected going into the wilderness, died. They didn't live. Now, those were all circumcised. They were all taken care of. But these, they had not circumcised them in this 40-year period. And so these new folks that have come across, they needed to be right with God. God had told them, or told Moses, or excuse me, let's go all the way back to Abram, told them to, that's the covenant, is circumcision. So before they could go and fight this battle, they had to be prepared themselves in a situation that they were right with God. Isn't that the same for us? If we're going to be in the battlefront, don't we need to be right with God? Does that make sense? I think it does. So here they did exactly what the Lord had commanded, and Joshua did it. He got the, a sharp rock or sharp knife, and he circumcised all of them. It says here, Israel the second time. Well, it's not a second time in that a person's getting circumcised, but it's a second group, if you will. And he says that right here, those that had walked in the wilderness that were not circumcised. He says, and the children whom he raised up, verse 7, in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And so he took care of this. He took care of this situation and made sure they were in the right place where they were supposed to be. And it's really the same with us. In Psalm 119, 9 through 11, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that's exactly what the children of Israel were doing. They were preparing themselves to be in the will of God, to fight the battle that God has called them to fight. And that's our part. God says he'll go before us, but he expects us to trust him and look to him and follow him to do that. That Gilgal, the word Gilgal means a rolling or a will, and that's what they named this place. This was a point of demarcation as they were, the people had been living apart for the world. They were following the world, and now they're going to follow God. They're going to trust God in this thing, and they're willing to do this. This is a sacrifice. This is not something that's easy to do, especially when you're an older person. And yet they were willing to do it because they wanted to follow God and be right with him. And for us, it's the same thing. It's a commitment. In Romans chapter 2, it says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. It's all about the heart, circumcision of the heart. When we agree with God about the situation and agree with God that we'll follow him, that's our heart. And if our heart condition is right, then we have the power of God in our lives. And we can go to the battlefront. So it's a preparation within. It's a preparation without. It's being ready, willing, and able. It's practicing the faith and living by faith, trusting God. It speaks of Romans chapter 12 where Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's what the children of Israel did that day. That's exactly what they did. They submitted to God in this area. But then there's also preparation with God. So you have preparation within, you have preparation without, but there's preparation with God. Now, in verses 11 down through 12, it tells us that this was a point where God decided he'll no longer provide the manna that they were getting for those 40 years. Every day they had manna, of course, except for on the Sabbath, which they were the day before supposed to collect two. But that's not going to happen anymore because God has already provided the fruit of the land, something else for them. And it's a little different, but yet God is going to provide it. And so it's just trusting God and believing in God that he's going to take care of this thing. And so they were getting prepared to go. God had provided. They saw early on, several of them who got to go in the land, saw the milk and the honey. They saw the grapes. They saw all that was there. He's talking about the fruit of the land. They knew there was something special there. And so God has prepared these people. But then we see there's a preparation with God. And in verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And basically he's saying, are you for us or against us? Which side are you on, is what he's asking. And verse 14 says, "And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." So here we see that God is really meeting with Joshua. We don't know if Joshua was in prayer at this time or what Joshua was doing. He had lifted up his eyes and he looked, and so he was looking down at least, and he saw this this captain of the host, let's just call it what the Bible calls it, and he asked him, he says, "Are you for us or are you against us? Are you for our adversaries?" And of course his response was, "Nay, but a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And some think this is the warrior angel Michael. I think it's a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ that Joshua saw that day. And the reason I think that is, number one, angels were never to be worshipped. In Revelation 19:10 it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." This is John. "And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, that thou have testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And then secondly, as Joshua is here in this presence, he told him to take off his shoes. Where did that happen before? Do I? At the burning bush. That's right. When Moses met with God. And so he told him to take his shoes off. He told him he was on holy ground. And so I believe this is a Christophany. I think he met the Lord Jesus Christ there. And he's seeing him, and he's telling him basically that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you. He's encouraging him, and he's trying to help him to show him that I'm going to be with you throughout this situation. Here he was with a sword. That is, he was coming to do battle. And it's the same with us today. And Joshua, I believe, learned this early on, that you look to the Lord and you trust him. You don't have to question God. We do, and I know many of us do. I do too. But really, when we can learn to trust him, we can just say, yes, sir. Now, the military, I've heard a testimony of a guy not too long ago, and he did some things that were not very nice. But he said he did them because he was ordered to do them. And he said, "I've never broken order." And that's the kind of attitude sometimes that we need to take as far as following God. When God shows us something or reveals something to us, we ought to take it that he knows best and just do it, and not keep asking the questions. But anyway, we can prove him, and how we do that is by trusting him. So what we want to do is, we're walking to be successful, just like Joshua was preparing to be successful because God is working in his life, is to look to Jesus. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you and I know that we serve a big God. And he's on our side. Does God love us? Does he love us all the time? How do you know he loves you all the time? Do we love him all the time? That's an easy answer, isn't it? That's right. It's real easy. If you love him, what's he say? That's right. So when we don't keep his commandments, what are we demonstrating? We don't love God. But does he love us when we don't keep his commandments? You better believe it. How do you know that? Keep our fingers crossed. Okay, Romans 5:8. Okay, yeah. But more importantly for the Christian, how do you know he loves you when you don't keep his commandments? That's right. He promised that he would chasten those that he loved. That's how we know that he loves us no matter what we do. No matter how far you get from God, he still loves you. He may not love what you do, but he loves you. And he loves you so much that he's going to get your attention. Because why? He wants you to be successful. Just like he wants Joshua to be successful. And we're going to see as we go down through this in chapter 7 that there is somebody that does something that God disapproves of. He still loves the children of Israel, but there's a chastening that has to take place. And it's the same way with us in our Christian walk. When we do something that God disapproves of, there's a chastening in our life. And if it doesn't happen in your life, then you're probably not saved. If you can walk disobedient to God and not care, you're probably not saved. Because my Bible says he chastens those that he loves. So we want to follow him. We want to choose what is best. We want to put him first in our life. Just like when Jesus asked the lawyer what the first commandment was, he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And that requires that we look to him and trust him in everything, that we take time with him or spend time with him, that we understand that he has a way for us and he prepares us. And part of the preparation is that we're in his word, that we're studying the Bible, that we're looking to him and asking him, what should I do about things? You know, I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of decisions apart from the word of God. I've made a lot of decisions without asking God, is this the right decision? And that's not right. God's not pleased with that. Our decisions ought to be made with consulting God. Give him the opportunity to say, no, don't go there. Or yes, that's fine. Sometimes we don't do that, and that's what he wants. Uh-oh. So we need to be prepared, and that's what God wants us to do. Preparation is the key to success. And as we go through this and we start seeing what God does and how he starts working in the children of Israel's life, we're going to see that because of the preparation of willing to follow God and be prepared for what he has for them, there's going to be some successful times. But there's also going to be some failures. And again, that just relates to our life and how we live. There are times we have failures. And he'll show us how to take care of those failures and get right with God. You know, it's true. We say it flippantly so often, but in Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's what this life is all about. Is even though we can't do it ourselves or physically, God can. The children of Israel cannot go across and conquer the land of Canaan, not on their own. And we're going to see that. It takes God to do that for them. In the same way it takes God for them, it takes God for us. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for opportunities you give to us. And I pray that you would help each one of us to take on the responsibility of being prepared for what you have for us, being prepared within, without, and then realize that you are going to lead us and guide us in the right direction. And Father, we do thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.